Well, Jesus often used parables, which are simple illustrations to teach spiritual truth. And this famous parable should be more appropriately named Parable of the Soils rather than Parable of the Sower, because the main focus is really on the soils. It's one of the few parables that Jesus actually provides an explanation. And as Jesus began his ministry and went about preaching the gospel of the kingdom of heaven, he realized that the audience was not always receptive to his message. The problem, according to the passage, is that though they have ears, they did not hear or fully understand or receive his message. And for this reason, Jesus began teaching publicly in parables. And this is the first time that Jesus would use such a teaching method to teach spiritual truth. And he told this particular parable to illustrate the heart of the problem. That there are those who profess faith in Jesus, but does not possess genuine saving faith. They had imitation faith. This has always been true throughout the history of the church, and will continue until the end of the age. That there will be those who have heard the preaching of the gospel, accepted invitation, walked down the aisle, and prayed a prayer, and yet have not possessed true saving faith in Christ. And as Jesus is planting his church, there will always be weeds among the wheat. In 1 John 2:19, says they went out from us, but they were never a part of us. They deserted the faith because what they had was not real or genuine. They were weeds that got exposed. Those who proved to have genuine faith would be marked with perseverance, faithfulness, fruitfulness, and growth. And this is how you know your faith is real. You endure when life gets difficult. Where there is no lasting fruit, there is no root. And Jesus is showing this in the parable. And the parable is like a mirror reflecting back to us the condition of our own heart. So this morning, are you ready to peer into your own heart? I must admit, when I read it, it got really uncomfortable. So this is the last chance if anyone of you want to skip this sermon. Or if you're on Zoom, you can just click leave. Great, that's bold. No one left. Thank you. Now, parables are a common teaching method that Jesus often used throughout his ministry. And he takes a common, everyday event of life and uses them to teach the deep things of God. He used parables to reveal truth to those who are open to what God was saying to them, but at the same time, conceal truth from those who've closed their minds to what God was saying. He was merely giving them what they wanted. They had heard the truth preached, and yet they rejected it. And Jesus began to preach in a fashion that requires people to think about what they were hearing. And those who were sincere and hungry for truth would have truth revealed. Those who closed their minds to the truth would have the truth concealed from them. He was simply giving them what they desired. And when you listen to this parable without an explanation, it's very simple, and many of the crowd would have understood it. They lived in an agriculture and agrarian society. A farmer sowed seeds on his plowed field. He would have had a leather pouch loaded with seed, and he would take in and reached in and take in the seed by the handful, and he would broadcast the seed to his plowed field. And as he sowed the seed, he noticed the seed would fall into four different places. And some fell along the side of the road, and the birds came and ate it up. It's easy pickings for the birds because it's in plain sight. And others fell upon places where they did not have much soil, places where there were stones in the soil. The farmers are careful to avoid this kind of soil, but it's not always evident that there are stones underneath it. And the seeds immediately sprang up because it didn't have depth, where it needed to bury deep to get the water it needed to grow. So when the sun came up, quickly it dried up, and it scorched the little seedling. And yet others fell among the weeds and thorns, and it choked them out. And the soil is deceptive because it looks cultivated and clean. Weeds are known to be resilient and very difficult to eradicate. And just as quickly as the seeds sprang up, the weeds came and choked up the young, fragile seedlings. And the weeds steal nutrients, and their broad leaves provide a canopy preventing life-giving sunlight from reaching the small, fragile plant. But it's not all bad news. Lastly, there's a type of soil that is good soil. And this is deep, soft, rich, clean soil, allowing the seed to grow, flourishing and multiplying with crops that yield up to 100-fold. What's difficult to understand what Jesus is really saying? I mean, it's a nice story, but what is the spiritual meaning? Thankfully, this is a rare few parables that Jesus actually provided an explanation. It gave us a key to understanding the meaning of the parable and unlocks the secret to interpreting the parable. It's not complex, but it's just hidden. Without the key, it's a simple story. But with the key, we can use it to interpret its true meaning. So let me give you the key. The sower is not explicitly mentioned in the parable, likely to have an immediate reference to Jesus. But it can also apply to anyone who faithfully proclaim the message of the Son of Man, those of us who share and witness the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the seed is the word of the kingdom, the gospel of the kingdom, the good news. Well, what about the soil? Well, the soil represents four different kinds of hearing or receiving the word of God. Verse 19 tells us the evil one comes and snatches away that which is sown in their heart. So the soil is the heart of a person. In the parable, there are three soils that bring outlasting fruit, and only one soil hears with understanding. Understanding is used multiple times in the parable, and that really is a key for us. One soil is an unbeliever, two are imitations or counterfeits, and only one that is genuine. And the focus of the parable is on the soil. It says nothing of the skill of the sower or the quality of the seed. The hearing of the gospel always depends on the condition of the seed, of the soil. If you have an unresponsive heart, if you have an unrepentant heart, or if you have a preoccupied heart, then you will not hear or understand and receive the message of the kingdom. Let's take a look at the first soil. First soil are those who hear and does not understand. Those who have hardened their hearts. The birds represent the wicked one, the devil who snatches away the seed from those whose hearts are hardened. And snatching is a word used to describe a violent taking by force. They are blinded in their conditions and have hardened their heart and have resisted the message. And the soil is hard and unplowed, giving Satan an opportunity to move in and snatch away the seed. While Satan contributes to their blindness, they themselves are indicted by their own hardness of heart. The enemy violently opposes the preaching and hearing of the gospel. He fights us and keeps us in darkness and prevents us in seeing the light of Christ, in seeing the beauty of Christ. He also blinds us to the urgency of the gospel. Listen, you don't need to believe right now. There's still time. You can do religion later. Just enjoy yourself a little while longer. The enemy deceives and corrupts our minds and distracts our minds away from the message of the gospel. that may be true for you, but it's not for me. Look, I've done a cost-benefit analysis, and it's just not for me. Well, I'm happy for you. You do you. And there's a battle happening right now with some of you who desperately need to hear this message and Satan's opposing you. Satan wants to make sure the seed has no chance to germinate. And he has looked closely into the condition of your heart, and he will find your weakness. He will exploit your pride. He will exploit your fear of man. He will use false teachers. He will exploit your doubts. He will exploit your stubbornness. He will exploit your love for your sins. And he will try to prevent you from hearing and receiving the seed, the gospel of the kingdom. The second soil are those who hear the word immediately, receives it with joy, yet has no root in himself, but endures for a little while. When tribulation and persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Some hear the word with great joy and enthusiasm, but have no root. When trouble comes, they walk away. I mean, there's an initial emotional response to the message, but there is no true conviction. They have heard an impassioned sermon, there was an altar call, and the music was just right. The atmosphere and the lighting was perfect. The emotions were stirred. And they respond to the invitation, even with tears. And there was a prayer prayed and a joyful celebration. Yet it was merely a superficial emotional decision without the depths of soil in their heart. There's no lasting conviction. No genuine supernatural conversion. You see, the seed did not make it to the bottom of the soil. And it prematurely germinated on a thin layer of topsoil. And there's no depth to the root. And when there's signs of persecution, the everyday trials and afflictions come, they fall away. They gave up the faith. They ceased believing. I used to believe, but I just don't believe in that anymore. Why is that? Because of what it costs. There's a cost of being associated with following Jesus. It could be for us a social cost, that the approval of people are more important than the approval of Jesus. The comforts offered by culture meant more than being a disciple. There's no deep, sincere conviction. When the pain of loss, humiliation, and social alienation comes, they jettison the faith. Well, I'm just following as long as it's culturally acceptable. Socially convenient, and doesn't cost me too much comfort. And as soon as persecution comes because of the word, they stop believing. And persecution will come to those who follow Jesus. Listen, right now we're living in a post-Christian culture that is increasingly difficult to be identified by being a follower of Jesus. Our worldviews are in opposition to the culture's worldviews. And there will be social pressure to conform. And we've seen that happen with churches that redefine the faith to align with the prevailing culture. No, we don't want to be canceled, so let's just opt to soften on convictions. Let's not talk about sin or judgment. Just focus on love and acceptance. Make it a bit more inclusive and kind of reinterpret scripture a little bit to make it more palatable to what culture would want to consume. So when social pressure and heat comes, they modify or reject the faith altogether. No thanks, I don't want this. I didn't sign up for this. Jesus is not better than my social comfort. And trouble and persecution do two things. One, they strengthen believers, and two, they expose non-believers. Trouble and persecution exposes the genuine from the imitation. And it's a certainty that if you're a true follower of Jesus, you had odds with culture because our culture is in opposition to Jesus. In John 15, 18, Jesus says, don't be surprised because the world hates you, because the world hated me first. And you know what? This is true of our early church. They face intense persecution and real costs with being a disciple of Jesus. You either bow to Caesar or to Jesus. And many who refused to bow to Caesar lost their lives and are martyred for their belief. If we crave the applause of men over Christ, we won't treasure him and will jettison the faith at the first sign of trouble and persecution. Without deep roots, the seed will be choked out by afflictions and by persecution. You will reject the faith you once believed. And third, soil are those who hear the word, but ability to bear fruit is choked by the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the pleasures of life. And this crowd of people may be Christians, but are ineffective, and Jesus says they don't bear any fruit. They may affirm the tenets of Christianity, but not Jesus. Their affections are not aligned to their convictions. There are other concerns competing for the affections of the heart. Passions and desires, other things that choke out and fill the void and emptiness of the heart. The seed didn't get down to the depths, and it gave room for other passions that compete with Christ for dominion to become the ultimate treasure of the heart. And so these thorns suffocate the seed and prevent it from growing until it's completely snuffed out. They know the facts and can memorize passages of Scripture. They can even have a theological degree. They affirm the historical Jesus and believe he died and rose, but their hearts don't treasure him or surrender their lives and fully embrace him. The heart is filled up with other worries and cares, and their energy is poured into pursuing the pleasures of the world, the riches of the world instead of Christ. Achievements and promotions, hobbies, social media followers, chasing fads, and the accumulation of the world's things take first priority. Their affections and their will are not given over to Christ, but rather given over to this world. And their values and pursuits are orientated to this world. And Jesus become merely a sideshow, an accessory to their lives rather than being the center of their lives. The worldly cares and concerns overwhelm, rule, and suffocate the seed. There's a warning to be wary of preachers who promise you the riches and treasures of this world if you believe. They will sell you health and wealth and a gospel of prosperity. This is a false gospel, and things they promise is the very thing that Jesus warns that will choke out your faith. Notice this is not the same as the previous sort. These people don't immediately fall away, and there's no persecution here. They didn't fall away or abandon the faith, but they've become unfruitful. They're still in the church and in the fellowship. And this is perhaps the dominant soil in our church culture today. There are many who affirm the beliefs and tenets of Christianity, but have no affections for Jesus. The hearts are tethered to the things of the world. They don't embrace or see Jesus as being glorious to them or beautiful to them, or at the center of their heart. Jesus either gets dominion over all or he gets none at all. And the fourth soil of those who hear the word and understands and indeed bears fruit and produces a genuine believer. This soil allows a seed to take deep root into a person's heart. and causes understanding. They hear the gospel is broken over their sinful condition. Their hearts are awakened, they understand it, they cling to it, and they treasure it. And they respond with joy, they respond with conviction. And they count the cost of what it means to follow. And they see the beauty of Jesus, who they get in return, and they abandon everything to pursue him. Their lives bear fruit of their faith. The seed takes root deep, causing their heart to rejoice in devotion to Jesus. And they develop a love for the brothers and sisters in Christ. When the gospel takes root and gets hold of you, it will bring about transformation and supernatural conversion. And contrary to the world's narrative, conversion is not a therapy. It's a miracle that is caused by the Spirit of God. You see, man cannot fabricate or convert anyone to Christ. It's a genuine turning to Jesus. And they produce 30-fold, 60-fold, and up to 100-fold yield. This is the sign and evidence of true conversion. And you can ask, well, why the vast difference in the soil? Why do some understand and get it, and some don't? And verse 11 gives us a hint. It says, to you have been given to know the secrets of the kingdom. What makes soil good soil? Well, God opens your heart to understand. You see, in our natural state, we have no ability to understand or receive. We have hardened our heart and deafened our ears and put on willing blindness that reject the gospel. We close our eyes and ears and close our hearts to it. Why? Because the gospel demands a response from us. It requires a turning from the love of self, a turning from the worship of self, a turning from the exaltation of self, and a turn to Jesus in surrender to him, to yield to his authority, and to give up our position of being our own gods and declaring him to be our God. Turning to love Jesus, treasuring Jesus, submit and following Jesus. You see, our culture will appeal to our love of self. It says, you be you, you do you for you. The Christian message is one of surrender, to die to self, to yield to Jesus, and to live for Jesus who died for us. And in surrender, we are truly free to be who we're meant to be. In surrendering, we are healed and forgiven, restored to God, have our affections changed. And when God opens our eyes and gives you understanding, that's when you turn. When you turn to him, you are healed. And you see the world and yourself as you truly are. And your heart is softened to receive, and you abandon yourself and you surrender to Jesus. See, God gives us this understanding to allow us to turn. We used to pursue the desires of self, and now we desire to pursue God. Our guilt and shame covered, we're given the Holy Spirit, become adopted sons and daughters. And we belong to a family and have a new citizenship in heaven, rescued from a meaningless existence, giving a new purpose and a new life. God has to open and give us understanding and cause our hearts to be alive to receive him. This is the gospel. And in the parable of the weeds in the latter section, starting from verse 24, it tells of a day of revealing that will soon come, and the weeds and the wheat will be separated. But for now, and for a little while, Jesus is allowing them to grow together. A day will come when true followers and imitations and counterfeits will be separated. Paul to the church in Corinth, he wrote in 1 Corinthians 1:3-9, says, test yourself to see if you're in the faith. And don't be surprised if you fail the test. I read that, and that was incredibly sobering. What is the posture of your heart this morning? And what soil do you bring? Do you treasure Christ? Is there a turning from self to Christ? Do you experience a deeper sense of love for Christ as you cling to him when the troubles and trials come to test you? Has the seed taken root? Are you standing in the gospel? Are you transformed by it? Are you the soil like the wayside? If you are, stop hardening your heart. Hear and receive. Come out of your senses. Awaken to your condition and turn to Jesus. Pray, I want to believe. Help my unbelief. And then turn to Jesus and be. Are you the soil like the stony places? You may have responded to the gospel at one time, but you feel you no longer grounded in the faith. And life's difficulty have tested your faith and shaken you, and you determine that it's not for you. Don't jettison the faith. Come back to Jesus, because the suffering is only temporary in light of eternity. What we get in return is much, much more glorious than the price that we're paying now for believing. Are you the soil among the thorns? You have responded to the gospel, but were bearing fruit initially, and then life's cares and worries and concerns and the riches and the pleasures have slowly displaced the love and affection you once had for Christ. And you're no longer bearing fruit. See the riches and the pleasures of this world for what it truly is, that it will not produce lasting satisfaction or able to satisfy the deep thirst that you have. Turn to Jesus, for he promises you living water. Or are you like the good soil? A soil that allows the word of God to produce its intended purpose in your life. Then keep watch, keep persevering, and keep bearing fruit. Listen and look to Jesus. Come with a heart to receive, and with humility, turn to him. Take heart, be bold, and be a faithful sower of the seed. There's good soil awaiting to receive the seed. Let me pray for us. Father, this is a difficult parable and passage.